This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show and B.D. Santiago. The Nighthawk is in here. Tyler Milner had to dip out. You remember, folks, he's a part of the fan council. And he has got to...
Media representative with the
media,
fan council.
You're right. Texans media representative.
Council, not cancel.
What did
he's
I
not
say?
Been canceled yet. I said it.
Oh.
He's not been canceled yet. He may, but it's a fan council.
Yeah, part of the fan council. He is there, and he will be... he'll be speaking as part of the fans and a media representative. I told him he should go in and really go over the top every time he speaks. Hi, Tyler Milner,
Sports Radio
610, executive producer of The Drive. And then do his question, and every time and do it. But he's on his way out there to speak for the people. Many of you gave him a lot of options and things to potentially look at, mostly beer prices and things to get people in the stadium earlier.
And somebody came up with a combo of the two. Use the beer prices, half off
right.
Beer, the hour leading up to kickoff.
Yep.
Get people come in a little earlier.
Yep.
I got a feeling that the half price beers would do it.
Maybe.
Beers, dogs, and burgers will get half price. Yeah, you'll get some people
depending on what they're drinking currently in the parking lot. But yeah,
yeah. While he's not here, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a little worried about it.
Why?
Tyler in a auditorium or a team meeting room, which is a nice team meeting room with a bunch of other fans that are probably. Some going to be listeners, and they're going to have him all jacked up. And he's in a situation where he could potentially be given a mic to ask questions.
Yeah, he's going to be given one.
I just
don't think you're concerned. Like, what do you think he's going to be too aggressive? You think he's?
Well, I definitely think he's going to be aggressive.
That's what you need.
He's going to be fine.
I don't think there's any wrong statements.
Oh, you don't think there's anything bad can happen?
I don't think there's any wrong statements. No. Like, he can go out there and say, blow up the Astrodome now, please. Like, I don't think there's any wrong statement.
Yeah, I mean, it's a safe
yeah.
space for him. But
because I don't think he's going to go and cut a promo on them. Well, like, I don't think he's going to go
think,
up there
I think
and
he
say,
can get. I think he could probably get a little confident.
Hey, look here. I just want to tell you about all the stuff I got problems with.
I'm the media rep here.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that.
You don't think he's going to?
I think Tyler's going to handle it well. Again, no wrong statements there. And then they may not go with it. Odds are they're probably not going to go with what Tyler brings up. But he'll be fine. But Tyler will be out. Chris is holding it down for us. You hear him every night on Area 45. You'll hear them tonight as well on Area 45 after Texans All Access. Last night, they let us know already the big story. They had Bob Nightingale on. Bob Nightingale said that he expected him to be the starting right fielder, and that has come about. Cam Smith made the Astros opening day roster. Sources tell Chandler Roman in The Athletic, the 22-year-old phenom and centerpiece of the Kyle Tucker trade, played just 32 minor league games prior to his promotion and Later, it was reported he will start in right field in opening day. And I don't know if last night, I believe the decision was probably already made before last night, but if you missed it, they played the Space Cowboys, their first game in Daikin Park. And if this was the thing that solidified it, it might have been, because he came up with yet another extra base hit last night.
Cam has had as good a spring training as anybody. He and Jeremy Pena, the two best springs. And there's a ball down the right field line. Fair ball. That's going to score at least one run. Jeremy Pena's on the move. Tony Parrish, Chico waving him home. And Cam Smith heading for third. He is going to start out his Astros career in this stadium with a two RBI triple. And he is fired up.
And he forced Todd Callis to pick it up, too. Todd Callis didn't think he was going to be getting after it like that on the Space Cowboys. Astros game two or three days before the regular season starts. But Cam Smith was so pumped up, it forced Todd Callis to pick it up a bit. But I'll be honest, Clint, now that it's come down to it, even though we've sat here and watched it all the way from start to finish, I am still, Clint, a bit surprised that they didn't push the business over what potentially they view, and I agree, is best for the team right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's, like, right now, I think a lot of people, if we're honest, really don't know where Jim Crane and Dana Brown, where their head is at, right? Yeah. Is it in the now, the be where our feet are and let's go win a World Series, or is it planning for the future? Obviously, it's some kind of, with the Tucker trade and the Bregman move on from, you know, moving on from Bregman, obviously they're probably straddling that fence a bit, trying to accomplish two things at once. But I think it's normal to think at this point in time, like, man, the smart business decision is the right way to go. But if, as I've said all along, if the end game is to have the best possible right fielder you could have, the best version of Cam Smith that you could possibly have, you know, come late season when it starts to mean a little bit more, let's get through those rough patches now. Let's control what we can control, and if he's going to go face adversity, if he's going to struggle, let's get through that the first month and a half of the season and not wait till after the All-Star break, have that month and a half struggle, and then all of a sudden going to the playoffs, you don't know who your right fielder is. You still don't know anything new about Cam Smith. I understand that there's value in both avenues. I'm here as an Astros fan, hoping like hell, which now is come to fruition, he's on the opening day roster.
No, he is. And one big reason why I'm surprised is the way that the Astros have operated in the offseason was, like, we're going to be a team that makes the smart deals and moves. Like, we're not going to just spend as much and do that. Like, that, those days have changed. We're going to trade a Kyle Tucker, and we're going to bring in prospects, and we're going to try to do that. And I would have thought to go right along with that, Clint, it would have been the thought of, hey, if we can wait a little bit, we get a full extra year before we got to pay him, you know, potentially big money. But they decided to go with what's best for the team right now, and I like it. I'm excited, intrigued. He's going to be the right fielder. Another part to this, Clint, before we get to the other big news with the Astros, is we talked about this a bit. They're definitely going to be working around defense a bit here, because you have two inexperienced players playing the corner outfield position. You have a left fielder who is a second baseman and is new to the position. We've seen have some struggles and has played it for a month or so. And then we have a right fielder who is an infielder, a third baseman who has started to play right field here of late. And they are clearly like, hey, we got to put the lineup in here. They're making the lineup a priority over defense. We'll see what happens late in games, because I think they're going to have to make some decisions. I would not imagine late in games that they would have that as the outfield. And we'll see some Chaz McCormick, maybe even some Zach DiCenzo. We'll see. But I do find that interesting, that this seems to be more about the best lineup than about the best, you know, team completely.
Yeah, it seems like they're approaching this thing in Old Dirty's way of thinking, with the defense doesn't really matter in Major League Baseball, especially in the outfield. So, I like the thought. I'm not a fan of the Altuve thing. I think by the All-Star break, he'll be back at second base. I do like the approach of hey, let's make some moves to try to keep our best bats in the lineup to give us some flexibility. I like that approach for damn sure. Even if you do have to sacrifice a little defense to make it happen. Now they may be sacrificing a lot of defense.
Yeah.
Given the experiments that they're rolling with, but we shall see. I like the thought. I like the effort.
Also within this is other good news. Christian Walker, who has had the oblique issue, took seven at bats in a minor league game today and will travel back to Houston tonight. He is expected to be on the opening day lineup, Thursday, this coming from the captain, Joe Espada. So Christian Walker is expected to play first base, and they should have the lineup that they would plan to want to have. I cannot wait to see how the lineup shakes out, to see where Cam is in the lineup, how this thing rolls out. I'd imagine he's in the seventh spot right there. But Christian Walker, that's big that he is ready to go. That's the number one guy they signed in the offseason and wanting to have him out there. Right?
Yeah, look, I think the biggest thing for this, you know, in terms of him being on the field and in the clubhouse and with the team on a daily basis, we've talked about it a million times. Like, this guy's got, like, next Astro leader written all over him. Veteran, pelts on the wall, obviously a work ethic that's respected league-wide. But all of that is for none if he's not on the field. All that's for none if he's having to rehab and he's in Sugar Land and he's not – on the field with the team and traveling with the team on the plane, things of that nature. It's obviously best case scenario. You got your first baseman that's going to be your starter. Obviously, great to have him. But this goes beyond just the production on the field with Christian Walker. So good to hear that he's at least going to be back for opening day.
Framber starts game one, obviously.
Yes.
Opening day. Hunter Brown game two, and it's just been reported Spencer Getty will get the ball game three. So he is going to be the third starter. Right,
I was listening to old Bogachevic, or what? How do you say his name?
Brian Bogachevic.
You know what I'm talking about? The old Astro that does
Space
the TV.
City home. Yep.
Boy, they were doing a little. They were doing a special little piece. We're kind of running down several players, but not running down. Like going down the list of several players and kind of recapping. Boy, when he got talking about Spencer Arrighetti and kind of, you know, just laying out last year what it really meant, kind of how he came on strong and some of the struggles and, you know, working with more pitches, and when he figures out how to work all pitches and not just have those pitches, he got me good and excited about Spencer Arrighetti. I'm already there, obviously, with Framber and Hunter Brown. Spencer Arrighetti, I think, is the one wild card this year that could be absolutely elite if things come together. And then you got those three at the top that are pretty damn good. And hell, Ronel Blanco's got to fit in there somewhere, throwing a no-hitter and pitching as well as he did last year.
Yeah. That's big.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Rockets, they're back at it. They had a 9-game winning streak snap in their last game on Sunday against the Nuggets. They'll be back home as their 8-point favorites facing the Atlanta Hawks tonight. So get on out, Toyota Center. They are trying to hang on to the 2 seed. And Tyler Milner will be out there.
Let's go, Rockets.
Courtside. Do you think he can get on TV?
Busy night. That's right. He's got floor seats. He has floor seats. Tyler Milner has floor seats. Now, again, I said this earlier. I feel bad for Tyler. We talked about it yesterday.
Well, you feel bad for him.
I'm just saying, yesterday he's got the Josh Reddick thing going. And now today, he had always planned, he told us that he was going to this game, but then he was surprised by his friends. He's going with his old Baytown buddies, he said. And they surprised him and said, hey, we got floor seats now. But I don't believe that came with, hey, we got floor seats. I'm picking that up. That came with, hey, we got floor seats. Like, we can't turn it down, but this is what's going to cost you. And I'm like, damn. Like, hold on, man. You can't go. Like, I have been to a lot of NBA games, and when I say a lot, I've been to one. But I would imagine regular seats to jump to floor seats on a team that's doing some winning, that ain't just like a, oh man, this thing went up about 30, 50 bucks. Like this is a serious ass thing. And I'm telling you, man, and as far as I know, Tyler is still going, obviously, that you know, that maroon money he got.
Ain't nobody got no money like Texas A&M.
But damn, man, I don't know, but we might have an issue. What you mean we jumping up and we just jumping up and I'm paying? Oh, that what you got? Oof. Hell, you gotta let me know before the day of.
Yes, yeah. But when you talk,
I'd have been out. I'd be honest.
That's what happens to folks that run around talking about maroon money, deep pockets kind of deal. Like they don't even check with you. They just say, because you talk about moving to the floor. That ain't no $100 jump. That's add a zero at the end
of that 100.
I mean, that's going well. It's definitely like you're going from $150 to $200 ticket to potentially over $1,000 ticket, depending on where they're at. I mean, if you look at some of these,
if we see Tyler tonight, we'll know what that jump was.
I mean, you we'll look on one of them ticket apps and see what the court side at the Rockets.
But I feel bad for my man Tyler because I'm like, hold on, man, hold on, we doing what? And then you feel bad because everybody else is like, yeah, oh great, let's do it.
Yeah,
I've been sitting there like, fellas, I'm out.
Fellas, I can't help you.
Yeah, I'm out, man. I can't do this, dog. I can't roll on this. What the hell are you talking about? Actually, man, fellas, I'll be there. I'm just going to hold on to my ticket. Hold on to this ticket I got right here. I mean, damn. How you going to jump up for floor seats and really sell it like, oh, man, guess what, fellas? Guess what I picked up?
It sounds like an opportunity presented itself, and they just said, yeah, man, we got to make this move.
We got to make this move, Tyler. Go ahead.
And maroon money deep pockets, just they figured he'd be in.
He is. I'd have been out. Tell you that right now.
Well, I don't know that any of your friends would have made that move without your consulting you first.
They'd have tried. Oh yeah, right. Like, hey man, I'm down if you got it. Where I'm at right there, I'll throw a little bit on it. I'll give you a little bit of an upgrade on what I was going to play, what I was going to pay, but not now.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, quickly the news of late last night and earlier today. USC phenom Juju Watkins has suffered a torn ACL in her right knee. It was a nasty scene last night as she got hurt second round of the tournament against Mississippi State, and she's going to undergo surgery. And I think this is a big hit. She was, to me, the star of the tournament, and there was. Again, I don't ever want to compare anything to what we saw from what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, but in particular Caitlin Clark, what that happened in the tournament the last two seasons. But it wouldn't have been a surprise had this thing worked out right that the interest would have been in the ballpark of that with Juju. She is already somebody that has been a fan favorite in L.A. A lot of celebrities come out to see her games. Even last year as a freshman, and there was a matchup between her and UConn and Paige Beckers. They already played a great game earlier this year in which USC won. That would have been another big-time matchup between those two and those two programs. So this hurts a lot, I think, not only to Juju and USC, because they're probably done at this point in terms of winning it all, but I think women's college basketball had another chance to have a really, really, really good showing if she was going to be around.
Yeah, look, it sucks to lose a player that's toting the load for really all of women's college basketball as it pertains to the tournament, the notoriety, the attention that it's going to get. Her and Paige Beckers, you mentioned those two right there being on that collision course. It was on everybody's radar. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm going to sit down and watch random college, March women's basketball, but I'm damn sure. Watching that matchup,
if you were to watch USC,
absolutely, 100%. I mean, every time you turn it on and they talk about the women's tournament, that's those two teams facing off at some point is appointment television.
But that would have built because let's say she wins, absolutely. And then there's South Carolina waiting. No question.
So yeah, look, I mean, I said it earlier, man. Watching her play for me personally, I love the handle your business in that quiet assassin like way. Just we don't. There ain't a bunch of flash. There ain't a bunch of talking. At least from my perspective, there's not a lot of just straight ball. I'm all about ball. Get on the floor. Get off the floor. Kick ass while I'm there, kind of deal. And she had that vibe about her, man. And so it always sucks to see any athlete in general, you know, go down like that. But to see one that was so important to the women's college basketball game.
Yeah, really, it was tough last night. You could tell it was very, very serious from when it happened. That didn't look like they they were going to get out of that with some sort of a sprain. That looked,
right.
That looked very, very serious, and it turned out to be. All right, coming up as we continue on the drive, now that we know the Texans' offensive line situation as it is right now, any of y'all wishing Laramie Tunsil was still here? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as I said on the other side, shout out to Chris Santiago for coming in, stepping up, as Tyler is handling his business for the fans.
Yeah, Tyler's spread thin now. I mean, Chris, you're coming in clutch. You always do, man. Tyler's got a lot on his plate, man. He's a man amongst town. You know, he keeps the heights rolling at night and the drive by day. And now he's adding he's adding the damn fan council.
Yep. And big time for him. It's huge. Huge. But Chris Santiago always there to help us out. And we appreciate you. But I wanted to get this from the good people and yourself as well, Clint.
Oh, you don't include me in the good people?
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, you get to talk first.
Oh, okay.
Now that we see the direction of the offensive line, and we were one of those who were big into the, yo, I think a thing that the Texans got to do is move on from Laramie Tunsil. It's not that he can't play anymore. It just, like, it feels like that is a move that needs to be made. Now, I'm going to tell you what right now. As we sit here and we see what they've done, and they've done a lot of in and out movement. Right, Laramie's not the only one that's not here from last year.
Right,
Jack Mason's out of here and Kenyon Green's out of here. They've brought other guys in, but now that you know what the Texans are doing with their offensive line, some of you are cool with it. Many of you probably have some concerns that range anywhere from small to very major. Would you still be a supporter of the move of moving on from Laramie Tunsil, even if you knew this is how they were going to respond to changing the offensive line?
Absolutely, 100%, without a doubt, the answer is yes for me.
Really, still?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if this is the Laramie Tunsil move is it improves all levels of your offensive decision makers, if you will. Like it's I'll argue that the Laramie Tunsil move allows D'Amico Ryans to be a better head coach. I think D'Amico Ryans, I think if he sat down across the table from us and we had a little truth serum there, I think D'Amico Ryans would tell you that he mismanaged Laramie Tunsil, if you will. Allowing Laramie Tunsil to be Laramie Tunsil, and ultimately show up when he wants to show up, be involved when he wants to be involved, literally be able to step to the media and talk the first time he speaks to the media and thank the general manager and the head coach for allowing him the time he needed to get his body right as he prepares to get ready for training camp a week or week and a half late, whatever it was. It's hard for, at that point, D'Amico Ryans to hold everybody else accountable.
Yeah.
You know, it's things like, mentioned it earlier, Kenyon Green having to run a lap at practice during training camp in front of all these fans because he had a false start, and then you got Laramie Tunsil over there who can't stay his ass on sides in during the season, and you're paying him a boatload of money. I don't see him running laps, right? I mean, I think that the move was made to allow D'Amico Ryans a better handle on the entire team, not just the defense, the ability to hold guys accountable, set standards, and move in a certain way. I think the move was made to allow Nick Caley a clean slate to, again, hold guys accountable and coach guys and all the same way and not exclude 78, exclude the highest paid player and how you hold guys accountable. I think Cole Popovich, the assistant O-line coach, jumping up to allow him a clean slate to coach that offensive room the way he wants to coach that offensive room and not have a more powerful voice in that room than he himself or the offensive coordinator himself. I think that move was made, and I think everybody in the organization that makes any level of decision or contributes offensively for the Texans is in a better spot with Laremy Tunsil not here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't at this point love what they've done.
Agree with that.
Because it feels like to me that they're banking on let's coach these guys up and coach these guys up with two guys who have never been in those roles before, right? I'm not saying they can't, but Nick Caley and Popovich have never been offensive, like the head offensive line coach and the play caller and OC. But I think to the point, on to the lines that you're making is, like they just needed to be able to get into cultures, that word you want to use, but get into what it is that they expect and what they're looking for. And I just thought that Laremy Tunsil, who I think, as I've said before many times, can play in the league, absolutely can be an all, he'll probably be an all pro somewhere in the league, but I just don't think it was the fit of what they wanted to do. Again, it is closer than what I thought it would be. Right, because I just in my mind thought, all right, they're going to move on from, if they move on from Laremy Tunsil, they are at least probably going to bring somebody who is Pro Bowl caliber. Right, because you move on from him, you've got funds anyway, you move on from him. I would have thought that would be. Right now, what it seems like the plan is, the best player they've brought in is Cam Smith. Cam Robinson, who's got some warts, obviously, with the Vikings and the Jags moving on past him. And the thought is moving your right tackle inside and Titus to guard. I'm not a fan of that. But I do think, as you're saying, it was more critical to just kind of change the philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm not a fan of the Nick Caserio offense. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, it sure seems like D'Amico Ryans is running the defense, and now we are on this Nick Caserio train of running the offense, and I'm not a big fan of that. But with that said, had somebody walked to me and said, "Hey, are you willing to go down the Nick Caserio, do more with less? Spread out the value across the board, type of offensive approach. If we shake loose Laremy Tunsil, I'd say hell yes, absolutely, and that looks like where we're landing. Now I thought wholeheartedly D'Amico Ryans would be the trump card here and would make sure that money was spent and proven offensive talent was brought in at the interior offensive line positions. Clearly, that's not the approach here. It seems more like from the offensive line coach to the offensive coordinator to the approach across the board on the offense, it seems like you're more in line with a Nick Caserio ran offense. And even with that said, again, I am stoked. I would not go back and do it any different in terms of parting ways with Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, someone texted in, I agree with Clint on LT 100% for all the reasons he is stating. What about the continuity on the O-line with Robinson being probably a one-year signing?
Yeah, I don't think continuity is a problem moving forward. I think when you've got buy-in and participation and accountability, among a group of, let's call it 10 professionals, I think continuity, chemistry, can be built in the weight room. It can be built in OTAs. It can be built on the field in practice and training camp. But you can't wait till a week and a half before the season starts and be ready to rock and roll. Like standing on the sidelines in sweats is not going to allow you to build that continuity. That you talk about, like the communication, something as simple and basic as the communication issues. You can't fix bad communication if you're not present. Yeah. Right? Something as simple as that. Whether you're talking about training camp or you're talking about practicing on Tuesdays or, I'm sorry, Wednesdays, whatever the hell it was. You know, those things should be a thing of the past. Like, if you moved on from Laremy Tunsil and you still don't have guys at the OC position and the O-line coach position that can hold guys accountable and get buy-in from everybody, then you got a coach problem at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that all of that is better just based on, you know, Laremy Tunsil not being allowed to have all these exceptions and move to the Laremy Tunsil vibe.
Yeah. No, I completely understand and agree with that. It's a tough move. I don't love the way they have gone, yeah. But it's still makes
interesting
it.
Path.
It has. All right, coming up, even though T-Mill dipped out, he still has his best bets for you. Still working. We'll give you the best bets, try to make you some money, see if he can recover from a 1-5 night last night. See if he can recover from that. And Jimmy Butler. Man, they have been on a roll with Jimmy Butler. Do you wish the Rockets pulled the trigger on Jimmy Butler now that you've seen what he is doing? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As Tyler is, I mean, he's probably getting after it right now. Actually, it starts at 6 o'clock, so he's gotta get over there. But Tyler's going to look out for you, the fans. Going to look out for you, the fans, today, baby. I hope he did go buy a yellow legal pad to really sit up there and take notes.
He's not a yellow legal pad guy, I don't think.
I don't think he is, but he might have been. He was acting like he was going to go with it yesterday. But
I hope he's not thumbing Instagram like that last meeting was in with him.
Well, yeah, I hope not either. I think that was for a reason. But I don't know what they come up with this year, right? In the past, they've had the jerseys. They've had a lot of input on that stuff.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what the big thing is right now.
What they can do is lower the price. The food price is kind of like what the Atlanta the Falcons.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit yesterday with Arthur Blank. Yeah, another person who looks like he sleeps in a coffin.
He's damn near there, ain't he?
Yeah, I'm just saying, man.
Hey, Chris, that's what they text line came up with. It's a combination of saving folks money on cold beer, as well as getting them in the stadium early. So you slash prices 1 hour leading up to kickoff.
You know, like a happy hour?
Hour leading up to, that's right, 11:15 to 12:15, whatever time kickoff is, 12:05, whatever the hell time it is. That hour right there, half price beers.
I'm for it.
I
think it would work.
It would.
I think it would work.
Now, I may be off on this. I think potential conversations could be about, what would you guys like in a new stadium?
Think it's going to be all – which that's a good call. Maybe geared
would you
towards
like
the new –
stadium? What would you like in a –
the new president?
New president? Like, yeah, yeah. What would you like in a new stadium? Or what would you like in a renovated NRG?
That's a good guess right there.
Because I'm trying to think of the big thing that could be
– Santiago said he got ideas.
I bet. Yeah, I do too. First one starts with it. That thing next to it.
They need to make a little section, kind of like how in Dallas they have the Texas Live. That's what they need to do.
Make that the Dome Live, man.
They do a lot. There's a few things, but I wonder if that could be some of the conversation. We'll see. Because Tyler will let us know. We expect a thorough report tomorrow from Tyler.
Why do you think so many people are adamant about tearing the Dome down? You think it's the actual structure, or do you think it's the way in which it's existed, continued to
exist?
I think it's
just such an eyesore.
It's just there.
That the thought is, do you do something with it, or do we just get rid of it?
I would have lost a boatload of money betting. Like, I would have thought we're talking like 90-10. I thought it would have been, don't tear it down, you know, gut it, you tear the walls out, leave
the
domes.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, how many? Like, you, they couldn't do it in Dallas because they moved Texas Stadium to the, to Arlington, so you couldn't. You didn't have that option. It totally blew the thing down in the history that was there. And I'm not saying that you have to save this history, but when you have it and it's a covered structure, there's so much you could do. If you could save it, there's, like, I'm just saying, in Houston, now I know the young generation don't give a rip, but I'm talking your mid-30s to your 70-year-olds, I think would be 90% like, no, do what you can to salvage it, do something really cool with it, and make it all work.
No, it's just what it hasn't been operational or used since Katrina, right? Like, I believe that, like, when people came for Katrina, I think it hasn't been used since. So it's been that long, and like, I think people are, I think, and it's crazy to think something so historic and sports history so historic, like, nobody would be like, yeah, let's tear down. I'm not saying it's quite in this range, but I think to people in Houston it might be. Let's just tear down. Let's just rip down Wrigley, man, and just do something else. Like, just the history that everything that is carried
yeah,
with
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that, but people are so over it and looking at it, and
yeah, it's
nothing
turned into
it.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's just get rid of it. And the thought is, I don't even want to pay what it would cost to renovate it and make something else out of it. Let's just get rid of the damn thing and make a bigger parking lot.
Oh, I think it would be, especially if it were raining or something. I mean, it's weatherproof. I think it'd be badass to, like, he talking about, like, that live area out there with TVs everywhere, a big huge walkthrough with bars and restaurants all in the same. It'd be sick.
But people are just over the damn thing.
Yeah, well, again, I'd have lost some money, boys.
But I get a sneaky feel. Tyler, he's already told us he's not sitting front row.
Yeah, he's not front row. He's in the ruckus, he said. And he's not, we're not talking about, I thought he was talking about the Rockets game. He's talking about the damn fan council meeting.
They do look like they're in comfortable seating, though. Really enjoy it. This would be big work. But I do think, got a sneaky suspicion it'll be that. If they can tear down the house that Ruth built, they can tear down the Astrodome.
Well, no, they can tear down anything. But my point is like, there's no, like, if you're, especially if you're just going to renovate NRG, right?
Yeah, it's not like they had to tear down.
And built it in the same place.
I was going to say, they had to tear down. And
I'm not from New York.
You're not from New York, but you have some ties to New York.
Yeah, I think
they had to tear it down and build, right?
I believe so.
Right in the same area. I think the parking lot is actually where it was built. To your point, they don't have to do that with the Astrodome.
Right? I just think it'd be a really, really cool tie, man. And maybe I'm an old head. Maybe that's the old head in me coming out. But, and I tell you what, them young heads would learn to love it the first time that it was raining like hell, and you had to walk out of that stadium to a bar, and you could do it undercover for 200 yards.
Yeah, somebody just simply text in pole dancing in an age-restricted area in there would be nice as well. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's big enough if you so choose. It's big enough. It's covered. Did y'all know the guy that owned the Astros originally? Did y'all know he had a house in there, in the Astrodome?
No, I didn't.
Google that. Look that up.
No, I think
not right now, Chris. But look, let me look.
It is real.
My man had a house in the outfield. Now, they ended up tearing it out and putting seats there. But my man had his house out there.
Lamar Hunt has a house inside of Arrowhead. They got a.
Well, that could get dangerous if you're single.
I believe the Blue Jays have like a hotel.
Yeah, they got a hotel. Yeah, they got. Yeah, the Hunt family has a spot in like a space inside of Arrowhead.
This was overlooking the damn. Yeah, like in the right center field in the Astrodome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, John
Rock
Harris.
Rock and roll.
There it is, John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. They will hold it down as they always do. And then Area 45 behind that as well with Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago will be back with the crew tonight. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure they will let you know about the Rockets tonight. As they get back on it against the Hawks and keep you updated on everything there. So hang out with the fellas 7 to 11 tonight after Texans All Access. All right, let's see if we can make a little money. Maybe me reading it will help it from last night's performance. All right, T-Mill, listen up. And he always go ahead and follow him at T-Mill Real Deal. He'll post this up here so you can make a little cash. Degenerates like Ocho, who's betting on NIT games, which is a damn shame. That's where you are, so you might want to follow in. All right. He's got first the Hornets plus six versus the Magic. The Magic coming off just beating the hell out of the Lakers last night, so we'll see there plus six. That's an interesting one. He's got Warriors and Heat over 216 and the hook right there. So you might want to go with that. Anthony Simons, here he goes with these player props. Anthony Simons under 21.5 for the Blazers. And then against the advice given from Brandon Scott, who was on with In the Loop earlier today, Brandon Scott said, I wouldn't mess with a lot of the player props for the especially points for the Rockets. So Tyler Rose with three in a row there. Jalen Green over 22.5 tonight against the Hawks. Shingun over 4.5 assists. He really loves to play the assists.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
And I don't know why he keeps doing it, because he is either getting 4 or 5. Like he is right around it. He has got hit a couple of times. And then Amen Thompson over 15.5. I like that.
I'm surprised you didn't take any Jimmy Butler.
Any Jimbo?
Props.
Any Jimbo? Yeah.
I like the Jalen Green. I like the Amen Thompson. The Alperen Şengün, you never know, and I don't think it's him. I hope it's not him. You just don't ever know what the approach is going to be offensively for him.
Yeah.
Are they going to feed him down low and let him work, or is he going to stand out around the three-point line and hopefully get a couple of long rebounds? Or, you know, I just don't know what you're going to get out of Şengün, and it's more so what they ask him to do. I feel like you're going to get hustle points out of Amen Thompson so you can get to 15.5, and I feel like with Jalen Green, that's the one dude on the team you can guarantee is going to get his shots.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get his shots up, and you're going to be able to tell in the first 5 minutes whether you're going to get there or not.
By the way, as we head out, a little breaking news. Russell Wilson is heading to the New York Giants.
Russ.
Oh,
Russ.
And Jameis Winston.
I mean, what are they doing?
So that means Travis Hunter with the number 3 pick?
I mean, what are they doing?
Russ
and Jameis Winston.
Dude, the battle of control of that locker room of one
unbelievably authentic leader so authentic it's crazy. The other one that's just
corny.
Corny is all get out.
But authentic.
Yeah,
but
I guess corny. I guess that's corny authentic, and authentic. Yeah,
yeah, this been too long to be an act now. Russ, he's just corny as hell. All right, coming up, Texans All Access, Area 45 behind that. Shout out to Robert Flores, who joined us earlier. Tyler as well, who is doing his deed for the fans. Clint, great job. Chris, thanks for stepping up. I'm Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
I'm just suggesting that maybe we pull that thing back to about a three-bet maximum.
I don't think you got that.
I mean, we don't need to push
it
to 5 or 6.
In all seriousness, I've actually thought about – I like the 3. Yeah, that being said, we're going up from 5 to 6 man, for
don't,
tonight.
Yeah, don't be a punk.
So
now,
I think
dog.
We should definitely –
Don't be scared,
now,
money. Man. Don't yeah, make I, money.
Hey,
let's
man,
go.
Don't give me 3.
No, you won't convince me, Clint.
I'm
hell
just,
no.
I'm
hell
just
no.
telling you.
5 or 6, baby.
I ain't
like,
a bitch.
Hell, why not 7?
I sit there and just keep upping my bet, and the longer I play, I just end up giving it all back on that 3-card table.